Blog Talk Radio.
Your place, love connection. Your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment. Here's your host, Dr. Susie.
Welcome to Your Place Love Connection Bible Study. This is your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment. We're so excited to have you with us tonight, as we are every Tuesday from 7 to 8 p.m. We just ask that you continue to follow us and support us and bring someone along. Today, we are going to be talking about Rick Warren's book, Purpose Driven Life. You were formed from God's family. You were formed for God's family. And we'll be looking at the verses, John 15, 1 through 5, the contemporary English version, and Romans 12, 1 through 5. The GWT. So if you will join us now in devotion, we begin with song, scripture, and prayer. So today we'll be hearing from let's see who we're going to hear from today. Let's see. We'll hear from Vicky Yohe. And from you were formed from God's family. Let's look at, we haven't heard his eyes on the sparrow for a while. We'll hear that from June Rochelle. Let's join into song, scripture, and prayer.
Should I feel this
Amen. His Eyes on the Sparrow by Joan Rocher. Can we have the scripture?
This is Brian from Maine. I have John 15. Reading from the Contemporary English Version. Jesus said to his disciples, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts away every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit, but he trims clean every branch that does produce fruit, so that it will produce even more fruit. You are already clean because of what I have said to you. Stay joined to me, and I will stay joined to you. Just as a branch cannot produce fruit unless it stays joined to the vine, you cannot produce fruit unless you stay joined to me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. If you stay joined to me, and I stay joined to you, then you will produce lots of fruit. But you cannot do anything without me. If you don't stay joined to me, you will be thrown away. You'll be like dry branches that are gathered up and burned in a fire. Stay joined to me and let my teachings become part of you. Then you can pray for whatever you want, and your prayer will be answered. When you become fruitful disciples of mine, my Father will be honored. I have loved you just as my Father has loved me. So remain faithful to my love for you. If you obey me, I will keep loving you just as my Father keeps loving me, because I have obeyed him. I have told you this to make you as completely happy as I am. Now I tell you to love each other as I have loved you. The greatest way to show love for friends is to die for them. And you are my friends if you obey me. Servants don't know what their master is doing, and so I don't speak to you as my servants. I speak to you as my friends. And I have told you everything that my Father has told me."
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Well, we are excited to hear that scripture. Would you go with me to the Lord in prayer? God, we come before you tonight, and we are asking that you would continue to lead God and direct us as we dialogue to understand that we were formed to be a part of your family. We thank you for loving us. We thank you for caring for us. We thank you for dying for us. Even when we were yet enemies, you loved us. And you became an atoning sacrifice for our sins, and we praise you for that tonight. Help us, O God, to understand your scripture and what it intends for us to understand and to know, that we might grow and share our understanding with others so that they might know you. We praise you, we glorify you, and we magnify your name as we continue pursuing being formed for your family. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Well, we are super excited tonight because we really get to sit down and figure out that we are truly a part of God's family. And that is awesome. And as we come before the Lord tonight, get to look at Rick Warren's understanding of why we were formed for God's family. So I have a question to kind of start us off tonight, and the question is, what And how do you perceive family in general? When you think of the word family, what comes to mind?
This is Brett. I think about kinship because a family, whoever is the head of the family, whoever started it, the mother and the father that originally started all these siblings, their bloodline is in each and every one of a person that we call family that is blood related. We also pick up friends who have been with us through thick and thin that are considered additional family. They're not blood related, but they are still family. So when I think about that, the first thing I think about is bloodline. The other part of it is the fact that I have people that have been with, I've been friends with for 30 years or more, and they are part of my family also. So it's a kinship.
So according to what you're sharing, Brett, and I like that, is that family has all kind of manifestations. It can be, you can be adopted into a family, you know, but you're still family nonetheless, even when you're not blood. You raise them as your own.
Amen.
You can have blood family, as you said. You can have all sorts of family, families that are blended, people who've been married and divorced, and pull their families together. They have a blended family, but all of these are still considered family. When you think of the church, do you ever think of the church as family? Anybody on the line?
This is Brett. Yeah, this is Brett. Yes, I think of church as family because I was raised in a church, and I've known those people most of my life. So, yes, I would consider the church family, too.
So, how do families operate? how do families operate? How do they operate? What do each of you perceive different ways that families can operate?
This is Brian from Maine. The family as the Lord defines it, through what he's taught us, is to be a group of people with a hierarchy through, you know, as children grow up. There's a hierarchy of who does what, who decides what, and where respect is laid out. That's fairly clear, and as children grow older, they're to cleave with their own spouse and form their own families, you know, immediate family, and then you have the more extended family. But it's an integrated group of people who are working for the mutual benefit of each other. They protect each other, they nurture each other, they care for each other. And though earthly families often fall short of that ideal is what really the Lord has really designed. It's people who work together to deal with, you know, their earthly surroundings, and it's very important for there to be a spiritual component where God and Jesus are number one and are taught properly through the family. But again, we live in a corrupted world, so that ideal is often circumvented.
Okay. So sometimes our families, I mean, the first thing that God instituted was important after marriage was the family. The first thing, it was family. That's how important it is. So, I guess Adam and Eve were the first family. And then they created the first family. First thing instituted. So it must be pretty important. So what do we know about families? Are they, do they all run smoothly? I don't know about you all, but every family I know is dysfunctional in some form or fashion. I mean,
amen.
Y'all can speak if you know, if y'all know a perfect family. I'm listening. Anybody? So
I think you're right.
When we have church family, what about the church family that we have? Anybody? I hear you over there laughing, Brad, or coughing one. I don't know which one.
Yeah,
I'm
from
the mixture.
From an earthly perspective, it's going to be dysfunctional because of where we live and the conditions that we live under.
Absolutely. And so I think when we understand that we are all going to have a dysfunctional family, that, you know, I hear people all the time saying, I don't like going to church because the way people do this, the way people do that. If we see church as a family, then it's no different from your own personal family. Your personal family is dysfunctional in some form or fashion. The church family is going to be dysfunctional in some form or fashion. God's family, because we are all different, all different. So when you have chaos in your church, what do you expect? You got a whole bunch of different people who have different gifts and abilities and different shortcomings. People
Amen.
Struggle to be family in their bloodline families that Brett talked about. They struggle with all sorts of issues. They struggle even when they're adopted families. They struggle when they're church families. We all have issues because we are different. And the issues we have are, how do we get along with people who are different from ourselves? So, with that said, we know that God wanted a family. And he created
Amen.
Us to be a part of that, no matter what. And this family is God's second purpose for our lives, which he planned way before we were born. And according to Rick Warren, he says the entire Bible is the story of God building a family that will love him, that will honor him, and that will reign with him forevermore. I get excited about the end times.
Amen.
I often hear Brett talk about how, you know, this side of the Jordan is just a short time compared to infinity. You know,
Amen.
Going, we've got a lot of time on the other side when we're spending it with the Lord. So what we do over here, even though it dictates how we live on the other side, you know, the focus is, you know, when we get to be with God forevermore. And the
Amen.
Scripture that he uses is, God's unchanging plan has always been to adopt us into God's own family by bringing us to God's self through Jesus Christ. And this
Amen.
Gave God great pleasure. Wow. So me being in God's family gave God pleasure. Now, don't get it twisted. God doesn't have to have us at all. Because God existed way, 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 way long time without us. So, and I know a lot of times in the Bible it says God regretted making humanity. So he had to
Come
wipe
on.
Us out with the flood. So we don't have to be here. It's a privilege to be able to be here with the Lord. And because we know that God is love, we know how much and how important relationships are to God. God's nature is relational. You know, did any of you get to see the movie, The Shack? Did any of you get to see the movie?
I think
Shaq?
I saw it.
No.
I think I saw it a long time ago.
Yeah, it's about 5 years old or something like that. And the movie was, God was a black woman, and the black woman was played by, what's the woman's name, Britt, who was in The Help? What's her name? The one who made the chocolate pie.
Oh, gosh. I know who you're talking about because she also played in the movie about the astronauts and the black women were the computers.
Yes. Yes.
Oh,
I'm trying to think of her name. I
well,
can't
the
even
name
think
I
of the
name I came up with was Viola Davis, but I know that wasn't her.
No, Viola's the other one. Her name is
just can't think of it.
It's gonna come. It's right here. Her name is Octavia Spencer.
Yeah.
Yeah. Octavia Spencer is a black woman, and she plays the role of God, and God manifests as Mother in the movie. And the Jesus is played by a Jewish guy who's a young man and wears overalls and jeans and hangs out. And then the Holy Spirit is a female who's Asian. And her name is Sarayu, which is the word for spirit. And it is so cool to see how they are in relationship with one another. And that's what I thought was so awesome about the movie, is that it shows us an example of how God wants us to be in relationship. As different as they were, each of them had a different role and a different, but they were together on one accord, one the same manifestation, just different
Amen.
Manifestations. And it was really, really cool the way they did it. And so because God is love, God treasures relationship. And he says God's very nature is relational. God identifies himself in family terms. He talks about in the old paradigm, he uses the term Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. There are other paradigms, Creator, Redeemer, Sustainer, that are used in the Trinity. But it's the perfect pattern for relational harmony. And so I think that's pretty cool for me. And it talks about how God has always existed in loving relationship to himself. So God's never been lonely. He didn't need a family, but he desired one. And so that's why we came into play. We were designed for God's family, and we were designed to worship him. We were designed to, you know, to love and adore God and to praise
Amen.
Him. Which is part of worship, and I get excited about my, you know, as Brett said, from the moment we started this Bible study, we have been talking about relationship with God.
Amen.
And how God devised a plan to create us, to bring us into God's family, to share with us everything that God has.
Amen.
And that gives God pleasure. Isn't that amazing?
That is
and,
amazing.
Yes, it is.
So when you hear that God desires that we're part of his family, what? How does that make you feel? Because for me, I'm ecstatic. You know, I can't make it without him. How about you guys? Anybody? Speak up.
This is Brian.
Hold your peace.
This is Brian from Maine. It's such a privilege because we are focused day to day on all the things that are happening around us in this earthly existence that seem huge, you know, things that in the future will be less than one grain of sand on an entire beach, trouble us for days and sometimes weeks on end. But he brings us into his family, and that's his goal. So it's just such a tremendous, tremendous advantage in terms of eternity to be in that position compared to where we are here on earth.
Amen.
So, Brian, that scripture that you read, the first one about the vine, could you read that again and then tell me what jumps out at you?
All right. It's John 15. I'm reading from the Contemporary English Version. Jesus said to his disciples, "I am the true vine." That's the first thing that jumps out at me, is he's letting the disciples know that he is the vine. Even though we're going to connect to that vine, we don't have a chance unless we understand that Jesus is the source of everything, because he's the vine. He's the source of everything that comes through the vine. And my Father is the gardener, which jumps out right away, because Jesus is the vine that we can connect to, but the Father is the gardener. So they integrated, both, you know, equally important, both completely necessary for us to have anything. Verse 2, he cuts away every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit. That's pretty scary. He doesn't say, you know, he gives it a second, third, fourth chance. He waits and waits and waits. It says he cuts away every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit. So that's a fair warning that we should take very, very seriously. But he trims clean every branch that does produce fruit so that it will produce even more fruit. So obviously, if we do our part, our little, tiny, minuscule part here on earth, he's going to nurture us and strengthen us and put us in a position of producing more. Not that we can produce it on our own, but he's going to give us what we need to be able to produce more fruit. Verse 3, you are already clean because of what I have said to you. What's done is done. Once we've accepted the Lord, we're clean. And that's his promise. Verse 4, stay joined to me, and I will stay joined to you. That's a conditional verse. It says, you have to stay joined to me, and automatically, because you are joined to me with your own will and your own decision, I will stay joined to you, and he will be our source. Just as a branch cannot produce fruit unless it stays joined to the vine, you cannot produce fruit unless you stay joined to me. That tells me we are powerless completely. We can do absolutely nothing spiritually on our own. We might be able to grab a hammer and a nail and pound in into wood and make a structure here on earth, but it's temporary. We can't do anything everlasting. We can't do anything in the spiritual realm unless we're joined to Jesus Christ. Verse 5, I am the vine and you are the branches. If you stay joined to me and I stay joined to you, then you will produce lots of fruit. But you cannot do anything without me. That summarizes verses 1 through 4. Verse 6, if you don't stay joined to me, you will be thrown away. You will be like dry branches that are gathered up and burned in a fire. There's that warning again. Tells us not to stray. Tells us not to believe in what Satan is teaching. It tells us to continue to believe in what the Lord Jesus Christ tells us and what we ought to do as a result of that. Makes a great commission seem real important to me. Verse 7, Stay joined to me and let my teachings become part. Go ahead.
We were doing 1 through 5.
Okay, sorry. Okay. All right.
Yeah. So, what jumps out at me, and it's amazing that what jumps out at me is the part that I know that God is going to prune me. He's going to cut something off. The stuff that, you know, I don't know how I feel about being cut on or being, and that's the reality is God knows what's best. And sometimes we get separated from stuff. Stuff gets taken away from our lives or moved away from our lives, or we get separated from it, or so that we can grow. And I think sometimes we, you know, there are things in our lives that are hindrances, and God knows what those things are. And for some people, it could be that money has made them misers, and that's all they focus on, and so they don't need God anymore. And maybe they lose things some of the time just so that they can get their perspective back on what's really important. I don't know. I imagine God knows what each of us needs, and we're pruned accordingly. But that's one of the things, the main thing that jumped out at me, other than the fact that I realized that in order for me to be productive, I've got to be connected with the source. Brett, did anything jump out at you? Brett, you're on, you have to get off mute.
I'm sorry. I thought I was. This portion of the Bible where God is talking about what we have to do, I think a lot of people forget that God is their everything. He is the source of them being here. He gives us everything that we need. We got all the tools that we'll ever need. He has already supplied that. But there's just some people think they can do everything on their own. And
so what scripture are you working with, brother?
The same one that Brian just read.
He read all 7. He read all 7.
Oh, I'm
which
just skipping around. I'm just skipping around in there.
Okay.
Wait a minute. Let me pull it back up again. But now you got to remember, I was raised by a Sunday school teacher, so I learned at an early age about plants and vines and how they work. The thing is, when you separate a branch from the main part of the tree or a plant, you got to have everything that you need in order for that piece that you took away to survive. You can't do that sometimes. Sometimes that branch will die. And where the branch was and you cut it off, sometimes you have to stop the sap from oozing out, because that sap is the lifeblood of that tree or vine that you're trying to take care of. And when I think of vines, I think about the grape vine, how you have where the cuttings have taken place before, that section kind of dries up and it's no good. And so they have to prune it down in order for it to start yielding more fruit. And that's the way that God operates with us. We have got to adhere to God's word and to his plan that he has for us, because when we stop producing, when we stop being what God wants us to be, then we die. When we die, he has no use for you. That's why some people pray about stuff, but they have been so disassociated with the main branch of the vine that their prayers are not being answered. I look at churches
so you,
that
you,
uh, Go ahead.
So you perceive that if you prune a tree at the wrong time, it will harm the tree.
That is
correct. That what I heard you say? So if
yes.
you don't prune it during the winter when the sap is supposed to flow, is that what you're saying? Then the tree can be harmed. But
that is correct.
But God knows, as the vine dresser, when to do that.
That is correct.
Is that what you're saying? Okay. Okay.
Yes, because that's why we are. That's why when he tells us to be fruitful and multiply, when you look at the 12 months that we have,
mm-hmm.
most kids are conceived during the winter months and they're born during the summer months. The thing is that there is a right time that you are supposed to produce and bear. And God has fixed it that way. Everything has a season.
Everybody produces at different times, depending on what
right.
you know God intends for. So, Brian, you actually have worked with getting sap out of trees. So, what do you know about the sap flowing?
I have been involved for years in maple sugaring and the science and technology involved in maple sugaring. I've also grown my own apple orchard over a 26-year period where I started over 30 trees from saplings, pruned and grafted different varieties together. And I know that the timing is everything.
Amen.
Out of the course of 12 months, you've got 5 weeks to obtain and produce all the maple syrup you're going to produce for the year. In some years, the weather is extreme and you only have 3 weeks. And if you wait one day too late, the sap changes and becomes sour and no longer has the ability to make sweet maple syrup. So there's a real science in watching and monitoring and knowing when to take action. But the Lord knows all that automatically. So it's really up to us to put ourselves in the right state of mind, to be in prayer, to be conscious that we have the ability to make decisions and be subservient to Him and honor Him. And that'll put us in a position of being able to be pruned by us making it the right time.
But I think that's very important. This is Dr. Susie. I think it's very important that because the vine dresser or the creator of the plant knows the best time to cut, to sever, to bruise. I think I remember you telling me when you were talking to me about the sugaring process is the arborist told you that it's okay to put a hole in it and don't worry about it. The tree will heal up on its own. But that's when you're doing it at the right time. So if you don't do it at the right time, it can create a problem, if I understood you, where insects could actually bore into the tree, and instead of it producing, it would hinder or hurt the tree. Is that correct? Did I hear you correctly?
That is correct, yeah. You watch the buds on the tree for the slightest bit of change. Slight change in color. You monitor the trees very carefully because you can't see the sap flowing. You don't want to cut your holes too early because then disease could set in before the sap starts flowing. You don't want to be leaving them open too late, because again, the sap won't have the medicinal properties that it has when it starts to flow up out of the roots. And if you think about it,
so
from this,
go ahead. Yes, go ahead.
If you think about it from that perspective, the life of the tree is really the roots. We think about what's above ground as being the life of the tree, but most of what we see above ground is dead tissue. It's connective tissue that has long since died. The only thing alive is a little tiny rim just around the very outside edge of the trunk and the leaves. But underground, it's almost all alive, because that's where all the energy gets stored. That's where all the water gets pulled in and all the nutrients get pulled in. So everything really comes from the roots.
Amen.
Amen. And I'm pretty sure that the analogy, if we went to the analogy of the vines are a little different from trees, but it has the same principle, that the life source is probably still in the roots. It's still in the connected, the idea that when you even when you graft something into another plant, it has to be connected to the source, which is the main part of the plant. Have you ever tried to graft a piece into another plant? You actually have to tie it on so it stays connected. And
as a matter of fact,
it grafts.
You have to tie it on very, very precisely so that the living tissue, the paper thin layer of living tissue on the branch you're grafting matches and hooks into and is exactly congruent with the living tissue on the trunk or big branch that you're grafting into. And it takes patience and prayer, because it's not an easy thing to do.
But my point is that you got to be connected to the source.
Amen.
You got to have that connection, else it doesn't work. Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
So, and it's the same. Amen. So, Joan, we are we heard you come in. We are working on now. We're talking about the vine and the branch, and we were on day 15.
Okay.
Talking about we've been formed for God's family, and the Bible says it was a happy day for God when He gave us our new lives. Through the truth of His word, we became, as it were, the first children in His new family. So we're talking about how many of us have different types of family, and we, as God's children, are grafted into His family. We have to stay connected to the vine to be able to survive. And we were talking about the scripture and what things jumped out at us regarding that scripture. But I like what he says in the book on page 120. It says, when we place our faith in Christ, God becomes our Father. We become God's children. Other believers become our brothers and sisters. The church becomes our spiritual family. The family of God includes all believers in the past, the present, and the future. And that's why, if you wonder why we got so much challenge in the family, is because you get all these different things. But one thing we have in common is that we were all created by God. It doesn't matter what you look like on the inside. It doesn't matter what your ethnicity. You were created by God. But guess what? And this is the tricky part. It says not, N-O-T, not everyone is a child of God, even though you were created by God. Because the only way to get into God's family is by being born again. Now, what does being born again mean? Brian, what does that mean to you?
Your first being
birth,
born again.
What is the second?
Being born again
what does it
to
mean?
Me was being born again to me was what happened to me in 1979, where I went from being an arrogant scientist who completely relied on himself and his own understanding to the point where I humbled myself before the Lord. I accepted him as my Savior, as my Christ, as Almighty Father and Lord of everything, and I placed the rest of my life in his hands.
Amen. Anybody else?
This is Joan. On my part, what happened was, even though that I have, I was involved a lot in a church and a lot of faith believing, but the destruction there is that there was a lacking of understanding. So then that lack of understanding made me go away farther out because I couldn't get any answers. I couldn't get exactly. And I like when I asked, I wanted to see, I wanted to know and understand in order for me to create something, an understanding. And but then when I found out all this, the negative that I have gone through, open up that the most important part is running to him. And then when I said, well, if I the last part of my, I mean, when I'm always, when I was at the very bottom and I run to him, I said, okay, Lord, all right, show me. I know you are there. It's just that I don't get it. And then when, what he did was he opened up a lot of things of different people, and he saw, he showed me these different people, and I realized that the most important is him. He is more important. He is more the key. So then when I grew up that way, learning to understand that I could lean and trust, because I lost all the trust. And then when I'm beginning to understand what trust is all about, among all that I've seen, he is, no matter what, the loyalty, he has that. And that's what I'm looking for, a loyalty, a truthful person, something that you could really trust, that even though if I'm angry,
amen,
or I'm bitter, he will not turn against me, but always there for me. So when I found that relationship and I found that feeling, I can now do the same thing to others. So,
amen.
Yes, so that's what I feel like. That was the, that's how I feel
Amen. Amen. So do you all agree with Rick when he says your spiritual family is even more important than your physical family? Because yes, it will last forever. Do y'all believe that?
Absolutely. Yes. Absolutely.
Yes.
But do we live like that?
There's a lot of challenge. Yes.
We should be.
But he makes you, he likes the fact that because he never changed, just one thing I learned from that. That was a good question. And because of that question, I did ask that, and I found out that he never changed, but we do change. And
amen.
So when we do change, we go back to him and accept him.
But that's why I asked the question. I said, is our spiritual family more important than your physical family? What's our spiritual
family?
What is our, give me an example of our spiritual family. What is he talking about?
Spiritual family. The spirit of God is the spirit of God is is my family, my relationship with him. Second part is those who believe in him as well.
Okay, that's one way
like
of
you
saying
guys.
It. Anybody else? So So is anybody else?
It's the body.
Can
it's
you give
the
a definition for spiritual? That's exactly right. So let me ask you one more time: is your spiritual family more important than your physical family? Because we die for our physical family. Great. We will sacrifice and go without for our physical family. So don't start lying, all of us, and act like we treat our spiritual family more importantly than we do our physical family. We don't do that. Well, y'all, I've never seen it. We get people in church that don't have food to eat. We got people in church whose bills aren't being paid, and we don't rally to provide for them.
Come on.
Somebody tell the truth. If, in fact, our spiritual family is more important than our physical family, would we not act differently? Would we not be going around trying to find out who is without heat in the wintertime to make sure that
Amen.
They can survive? These older people who are around and don't have any heat? Come on. So let me ask the question again.
Amen.
Is our spiritual family, do we treat our spiritual family as though they are more important than our physical families?
Yes.
And if y'all say yes, you believe that, then explain it to me, because I don't see it.
Because and because God teaches you how to be spiritual, and the relation that you build up with God is, I understand it now. So now that I feel it and I see it, spiritually speaking, what he's saying, I could now give it to those who are in need, his own children. Do it for others and he'll do it for me. In order for me to please him, I have to do it to others. And in order to understand that kind of what he's saying, I can now reach out to my spiritual, the spirit of those who are in need, the spirit people, the spiritual, the lost, especially the lost people. And I have to read it the way God has taught me. Yeah.
That sounds wonderful. Sounds philosophical. You know, but you tell your husband and your children before you do people that are your folks, your spiritual family in the church, don't you?
Yes.
All right.
Because
if that's the case, then our spiritual family is not more important than our physical family to us.
Amen.
And
that's
most of
point.
Us don't act as if our spiritual family is that important at all. Half the time, we ticked off at folks because they sat in their seat. What you doing sitting in my seat? That's my seat. You know I'm telling the truth.
All right.
Brett, isn't that what Eric used to talk about all the time? He went into church visiting, and a lady dogged him out because he sat in her seat. He never went back
That's
to
right.
the church.
That's right.
So I don't think our spiritual family is more important to us than our physical family.
Amen.
I don't.
That's Susie.
I don't even think we care enough to know where other people are. They can say, how you doing? We don't care to find out. We don't really. We want them to give us the normal reply. Oh, fine, how you doing? We don't want to hear the real truth. Oh, I'm struggling because I couldn't pay my bill. We don't want to hear that. Or that I had a hard time because my daughter's sick and in the hospital. We don't want to hear all that. All we want to hear is you say hi and keep going. We don't want to take the time to find out about anybody else's struggle or pain, because we don't care.
Come on.
Because if we cared, we wouldn't ask that question inauthentically. I have had many people from other cultures say to me their biggest disappointment is when people ask them, how you doing? And they say, and they really don't want to know. People from other cultures they think that people really are serious when they ask them how you're doing. But in reality, it's just an expression. Don't nobody care how you doing. There are a few people who do, but I mean, in general, I'm stereotyping.
Come on.
Sincerity.
I'm trying to make a point. I'm trying to make a point. Go ahead, Joan.
Oh, no, I'm just, it's a sincerity.
Yeah, but I mean, did you not, but see, you had a family who was very fluent in English, but I have a lot of friends from other cultures who come to the United States to go to school, other nationalities. Mm-hmm. And when they're talking to Americans and those American students say, how you doing? They don't stop to wait to see how they doing. They just using the cliche.
Amen.
And
that's
the biggest
true.
Issue. That's the biggest issue that they tell me about, that they're in shock because nobody really cares.
Amen.
So when we talk about that, Rick says, when we place our faith in Christ, God becomes our Father. We become His children. Other believers become our brothers and sisters. And the church becomes our spiritual family. No wonder we're so dysfunctional. We are some dysfunctional family in the church.
Amen.
Because we don't really take the time to care like God wants us to.
That's true.
The family of God includes all believers in the past, the present, and the future. We have folks that won't claim people of other ethnicities other than the one that they're in. So that's sin. So if that's the reality, how you going to disown me and I'm a part of the family of God? I'm talking about the evangelical folks who was following some other folks. How you going to do that? You can't disown part of God's family. It doesn't work. So every human being, every human being was created by God.
Come
the
on.
Only ones that are real children of God are the ones who accepted Him and are born again. Our first birth is through the womb with our parents. The second birth is becoming a part of God's family through accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and being baptized into the Spirit of God.
Amen.
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 So God has given us the privilege of being born again, but we got a lot of folk who claim that they're part of God's family that haven't been born again because they can't accept other people as part of their brothers and sisters in Christ. So we have to acknowledge that's an issue with some of us. So let's go on. It says the invitation to be part of God's family is universal, but there's one condition. What's that condition, y'all? You got to have faith.
Amen.
Amen.
And if somebody would read that, Brian, if you would read that last paragraph on page 120, if you would. It says, Joan, do you have page 120?
120, yes.
The last paragraph?
Okay, and the 120, it says, okay. Your spiritual family is even more important than your physical family because it will last forever. Our families on earth are wonderful gifts from God, but they are temporary and fragile, often broken by divorce, distance, growing old, and inevitably death. On the other hand, our spiritual family, our relationship to other believers, will continue throughout eternity. It is a much stronger union, a more permanent bond than blood relationships. would stop to consider God's eternal purpose for us together. He would break out into praise. When I think of the wisdom and scope of his plan, I fall down on my knees and pray to the Father of all the great family of God, some of them already in heaven and some down here on earth.
What do y'all think about that?
That's real significant.
Being humble, yes. Being
and
humble
how many of
well.
Us operate that way, though?
Very few.
It's very few, yes. Great.
Mm-hmm. Is anybody
the world
convicted?
Is becoming.
Has anybody been convicted? Has anyone been convicted? This is a teaching.
I have been.
Not that it was so new. Not that it's so new, but and we probably knew these things. We just didn't allow it to come up front, you know, to be centered on our family, our spiritual family, is more important than our physical family. That's deep. And yet we don't even acknowledge people. Sometimes we don't say hi to people. Come on. So can you really, do we need to question if we are really a part of God's family, if we can't treat God's people right, if we can't love one another? Do we need to question if we truly have faith in God, if we have truly believed in our heart and let God transform us so that we could be born in the Spirit? You know, because if we're born in the Spirit, don't we have love? If we ain't got nothing else, we got love.
We certainly should.
So
even if the Lord,
what are some
even
of the benefits?
God is a distance.
So what
Repeat
are some
that.
Of the benefits? What are some of the benefits of being in God's family? What's the benefit?
Being
we
strong,
gonna close out?
Being love. You stay
this
strong and being love.
Mm-hmm. What do you think, Brett?
Yeah, it's about having eternal life. Because when we're part of that vine, the only thing we have to do to have eternal life, and we do this every time we have Bible study at the end, when we ask people to pray if they want to accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, first thing you do is you got to confess that you're a sinner, and then you got to ask for forgiveness, and that you got to believe in Jesus Christ, okay?
Always.
And believe that he died and that he was raised, which means that he's a living God.
So what you're saying is the key thing is you have to identify through his baptism, through the baptism.
Right.
You have to identify with that. And we have believers who won't publicly acknowledge God as his Lord and Savior. We have people who won't do that because they're embarrassed. They're ashamed. And he says, if you won't, if you deny me in front of men, I will deny you in front of my Father.
Amen.
We have to be willing to speak of our relationship with God.
I wouldn't want to have that God will say that to me.
Amen. I want him to say good and faithful servant, well done. But it's real clear that baptism, it says, is a physical picture of a spiritual truth. He says, some of us are Jews, some are Gentiles, some are slaves, and some are free. But we've all been baptized into Christ's body by one Spirit, and we all have the same Spirit. So if you have the same Spirit in you that I have in me, we are brothers and sisters in Christ. And I cannot hurt
Amen.
My brother. I cannot hurt my sister. I cannot hang my brother. I cannot hang my sister and think it's okay. I can't burn them and hand off pieces of them and celebrate at a picnic. I can't do those kind of things. I can't put them in the Holocaust and put them and make them walk into place and walk into a chamber. I can't do that. I can't do that.
All right.
If they're
on.
My sisters and they're my brothers. I can't call them a-holes. If they're my sisters and my brothers, and you claim to be a child of God, you can't do that. They are part of our family. We are all part of God's family. And I love that piece. He says it's like a wedding ring. Baptism is like a wedding ring. It's a visible reminder of an inward commitment made in your heart. It's an act of invitation.
Amen.
Not something you put off until you're spiritually mature. I love it.
That's true.
The only biblical condition is that you believe. Woo.
Yes.
Amen.
And the last piece he says, life's greatest privilege is that Jesus and the people he makes holy all belong to the same family. Jones, my sister. Brett, you my brother.
Amen.
Brian, you my brother.
Amen.
And I'm not ashamed to call you brothers and sisters. We are God's family. And I just love how it says Jesus pointed to his disciples and said, these are my mother and brothers. Anyone who does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother.
Amen.
That's the greatest and the highest honor we can have. So,
and now you are a royal family.
A royal priesthood. Yes, we are a royal family. So whenever you feel unimportant, whenever you feel unloved, whenever you feel down or insecure, I love it.
Come on.
You are a royal family member.
Blood.
And you are not alone.
That's right.
You are born
That's a good one.
In the spirit of Jesus the Christ and the Holy Spirit, God the Father. We are one.
We
the same
one.
Body, same spirit.
We are one in the
we
spirit.
We are united. We are one in the Lord. We are one in the spirit. We are one in the Lord.
And we, what?
All unity in one day be. And they'll know we are Christians by our love, by our love. Yes, they'll know we are Christians by our love. Amen.
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 Praise Jesus.
So that's what we learned tonight as we talked about being formed for God's family. The verse to remember says, his unchanging plan has always been to adopt us into his own family by bringing us unto himself through Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
If there's anyone out there in radio blog land who wants to become a part of the family of God, you are formed for God's purpose to be a part of God's family. So we ask you right now in the name of Jesus, we ask you to acknowledge that God is the one who's made all things and he wants us all to be a part of his family. And to be a part of his family, all you have to do is have faith to confess with your mouth, believe in your heart that Christ rose from the dead. And he now sits at the right hand of the Father. And that as he rose, so shall you. And we will live forever with our Lord and Savior. If you believe that, if you can say that prayer, and you can accept Christ as your personal Savior, and allow him to sit on the throne of your life, then know that you've been saved. Hallelujah. And that right now, you are part of the family of God, and all you need to do is get involved with a Bible believing church and be baptized according to his word, And continue to follow
Amen.
Us here and be a part of Your Place Christian Church and join us. And not only when you join us, what do they need?
Hello?
Hello?
I said, what else
what
do
else?
They need to do? Not only do they need to join us, they need to do what? Bring somebody else with you. Amen. Bring somebody else with you.
Amen.
As we close tonight, we just ask
Amen.
That you continue to join us here every Tuesday from 7 to 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Your Place, on Your Place Bible Study. And as you join us, know that we will be here. If you have any questions, feel free to call in. You have the number. Number is 646-478-4932. And you can email us at drsusie.loveconnection@gmail.com. That is drsusie.loveconnection@gmail.com. God's blessing be with
Amen.
You as we will be with you again on next week.
Amen.
Thanks for listening to Your Place Love Connection, your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment.